Hello and welcome to Tales from the Doghouse, Separation Anxiety Explained. I am Ness Jones in Australia, and with me today is...
I am Stacey Bell in the US with Focused Fun. Today we are talking about how to kind of navigate your way through the holiday season with when you have a dog with separation anxiety. And there are certain challenges that that we can kind of help guide you through. So they feel less bumpy and the holiday can maybe feel a little bit more joyful for you both. But first, before we do that, we did have an announcement. This will be our last episode for the season or for the year. But then we're also going to take a little bit of a break from recording new episodes. But please feel free to go back through some old episodes, re-listen or rewatch those episodes that you have like a specific interest in, and that'll keep you busy, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's plenty of episodes there. So yes. But yes, we have a nice little break. But holiday seasons are coming up. I know you've got Thanksgiving coming up. When is Thanksgiving?
We do. Next Thursday.
Oh wow. Right.
Yep.
Is Black Friday quite close to Thanksgiving?
It's the day after Thanksgiving. Wow. Black Friday. It's like the big shopping day with all the sales and such. I of course avoid it because A, I don't really like shopping, and B, I don't really like crowds. So it's a perfect thing for me to go ahead and just skip.
Yeah, I'm the same actually. I'm not big on shopping or crowds either. It always amazes me. Do you have big Boxing Day sales in America?
No, Boxing Day isn't really a thing in America.
Oh, really? Because here in Australia, so we don't do Thanksgiving for obvious reasons, but Boxing Day is huge. So that's the day after Christmas. And I have never been to a Boxing Day sale. I will never go to one. But you see them like literally outside the stores lined up down the street waiting for the doors to open. I know.
All
those people.
Yeah, it's very people-y. And a lot of people with kind of short tempers that, you know, everybody wants to get their thing and get out of there. And it's not my scene for sure. No. Not my scene.
But let's talk about holidays. When you say Thanksgiving is that a one day public holiday, or do people sort of stretch it out, or?
Well, a lot of the schools will have Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off, just because a lot of people travel for Thanksgiving. So whether it's college or like elementary through high school, a lot of kids will have those 3 days off. Some folks even have like the whole week off. A lot of businesses take Thursday and Friday off. I think everybody a lot of people travel or are having house guests. So.
Yeah. And then after that, obviously, the holiday season in Australia, because it's the height of summer, the kids have 6 to 8 weeks off, depending on the school they go to.
Oh, wow.
A big holiday for us. Yeah. For summer.
Yeah, I bet.
I guess it's not so much for you because it's when you get a couple of days or something.
Usually a couple days, well, depending on what day Christmas falls, and then what day New Year's falls, but most of that whole time in between Christmas and New Year's, like maybe a couple days before Christmas and through New Year, the day after New Year's maybe is like the normal break.
Cool.
So
we need to talk about dogs.
So I actually wrote a blog a couple of weeks ago. I know I felt like I should give myself gold star because it's like they just take so much longer than I think to write them, right? Anyways, I wrote a blog about holiday season, and in it, the bottom, I have a holiday season checklist.
Oh, perfect.
That you guys should go look at if you're the kind who likes a visual thing.
We
can add the link in the show notes, but my thoughts are especially organized, because because I did write the blog, and so it's all there. So one of the things that I think is important to call out, and especially this year for me, because my father passed away around this time last year, you know, it does bring up different emotions, and we just want to, you know, we do think of the holidays as this joyous, carefree time, but remembering that that's not the case for everybody. For a lot of people, you know, there's a higher incident of struggles with anxiety, depression. People might be feeling more pressure because they want to take time off, but maybe monetarily can't do so. They might be struggling with the thought of trying to buy gifts for people. I mean, there's like with people coming to town, maybe family is stressful for you. So there's a lot there for a lot of people. So if it's not a super happy time for you, we see you. You know, it's not necessarily a happy time for everybody, but hopefully some of the tips that we talk about today will help relieve some of the pressure that you are feeling or some of those anxiety or negative emotions that you might be feeling.
Yeah. And of course, if you do have those emotions, there's a good chance your dog will be picking up on them as well. So
yeah.
So just feel supported and yeah.
Yeah, make sure you reach out and get help if you need it, either from family and or friends or from a professional, you know.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I think is super important when you're thinking about the holiday season is to prepare, to think ahead of time. And I know it's kind of cutting it close for some of the holidays, but some of them are still a ways off. So I think one of the things that number one, hands down, is as a pet parent of a dog who is struggling with separation related behavior, get your sitters, get your sitters, get your sitters, your favorite sitters, you know, reserve them,
lock them
for,
in.
yeah, lock them in because it's already getting pretty close to those. So do make sure that you plan ahead for that. So that you don't miss out on any parties or gatherings or, you know, whatever it is that you like to do around the holidays that your dog might not be welcome.
And
or
we did do an episode a long time ago, but I'm sure you can go back and find them, about finding a good sitter.
Yes, yeah. We did. Yeah. So if you don't have a favorite sitter,
what
maybe, I mean, yeah, that's definitely a good thing to do, is to dedicate some time in finding a two or three people that you can really rely on. Anyways, so the other kind of thing to think about, and we have fully unpacked this in another episode as well on routine changes, but there are routine changes during this summer. And as you were just talking about, what a big break that that some of the kids get there. And the kids definitely get a break here. And some people also take like a block of time off. So that kind of normal ebb and flow of life is totally different this time of year. So that if there are things that you can do to make those changes more gradually, you know, sometimes it's a possibility, sometimes there's not. And if you notice that your dog is struggling with that transition or that change in routine, just take a break from training, or make it a lot easier for your dog.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And this applies for when the holidays start, but also when they end. So, cause that's another change, especially for me here. I mean, with the 6 to 8 weeks is a long time.
Yeah, they get used to the new normal and then you switch it up again.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. The other thing to consider is that if you are bringing your dog with you, like if you're traveling and you're bringing your dog with you, think ahead of time about what skills your dog might need to be successful in whatever environment that you're doing. Like, so if you're doing a camping trip together, you know, make sure your dog can settle in a tent You know, that might be hard for some dogs. For some dogs, that'll be easy peasy, but for other dogs, that might be really challenging, you know. And that they're maybe used to the harness or the backpack or like whatever they're wearing, or if you're bringing your dog to your family's house, make sure, you know, that they can settle in that atmosphere, maybe do some mat training, or if there are certain skills that they'll need, that you work on those skills ahead of time and start kind of building some difficulty there.
Yeah, and
And
I
if you're going
think,
to be,
sorry.
go ahead. No,
Oh,
go
no, I
ahead.
was just going to say, just in relation to that, when you if you are staying with family, give your dog a space that they can be by, you know, if they feel like they're feeling overwhelmed, that they can go to and feel safe without anybody bothering. Like that is where you can go when you're not feeling safe, if, even if it's like a crate, some sort of van, or just something, because, you know, families with kids and things like that can be a bit loud and screamy and whatever. So yeah, just give them somewhere where they feel comfortable.
Especially if your dog is not used to kids, or you know, if they're a dog that becomes generally unsettled in new environments. I think that's really important, and I think that can be really tricky with dogs with separation related behaviors, right? Because you want to give them a space away from people, but you also want to realize that they don't want to be alone either. So it can be kind of tricky. So what I usually recommend for things like that is just, you know, find a corner of the room and make sure everybody in the household really understands if my dog is on their mat in that corner, or if they're in their crate in that corner, like whatever your setup is, that they are not to approach the dog. Like if the dog is going there, that means the dog needs space. And really advocate for your dog there, which can be tricky because people can get touchy about their kids, and you're advocating for your dog, and like they might feel like a little funny about like, oh, what's the harm, you know, like. But really, I think it's important for not only your dog's well-being, but also for the child's safety. Because even if your dog doesn't have any kind of history, you know, you take a little bit of fear and an unknown person coming at you, and you don't know what could happen. So it's better to be safe.
And that applies not just to children. It could be another dog in that household that is the home dog, or it could even be a cat, because cats can be quite, what's the right word, Stacey? Oh, I don't want to say obnoxious, that's not the right word. They can be quite insidious if they just want to muck around with your dog, in the sense that they, I don't know, maybe get them in trouble or something. They like, I love cats, don't get me wrong, but yeah, they can be quite troublemakers.
We see that in our house quite frequently. Sadie will hide behind something and jump out at Rowan, and then Rowan will try to play with her, and then she'll hiss at him like it's his fault. And she's, and I'm like, you know. And so now he's gotten to the point where he just like will turn back at me, and I'll give him treats, and he's like, he doesn't even try anymore. But it's kind of funny. He's like, anyways, yeah. The other thing that you might want to do just to prepare if you are traveling with your dog is to look ahead in the area. And there are so many, most restaurants post stuff like this on their website, but look for cafes, coffee houses, pubs, restaurants, whatever you like to do that allow dogs there, if that's something that your dog is comfortable with. And this is another case where the mat training comes in really handy. If your dog is comfortable in those kinds of settings and they have the training to sit and relax, then that can be a really good way for you to be able to experience the holiday with your family without kind of feeling as much like tension of not being able to join if people are going out to eat and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What else have you
Yeah.
got on your little list?
Well, the next category I have is holiday parties and gatherings.
Oh.
Yeah, so that one can be really, really tricky because I think we have this like kind of false expectation that most dogs will be full. They'll be fine, you know, and for a lot of dogs, having people like a bunch of people come over or going to somebody's house where there's a bunch of people that they might not know is really stressful, right? And so I totally get that with a dog with separation anxiety, you're adding another layer because you can't just leave them at home. And this is why we say try to get your sitters squared away as soon as possible. But I think you really do need to assess your dog, and take a really good hard look on will they be comfortable in that environment, you know, because especially around New Year's here, you know, people might be letting off fireworks and, you know, just making a lot of noise. And if it's a Christmas party with a lot of people, your dog might not feel comfortable. So, you know, just you know your dog and you know what types of experiences are comfortable or not for them. So, you know, if it's not a comfortable experience with your dog, even if you're having the gathering at your house, maybe ask your sitter to take your dog to their house, so that your dog isn't in that stressful situation.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There you go.
No, and this is another instance when that kind of safe space might come in handy, but also is another know your dog kind of thing because closing them in another room likely won't be good for a lot of dogs with separation anxiety, but some of them might tolerate that's fine. So just know your dog there,
And if you're in
and
your own home and you have a party, they probably might be more comfortable being locked
yes.
away in a room or something, depending, of course, on the situation. But I mean, also, if that is the case and you are doing that, just make sure you check in on them every now and then, and that make sure nobody is helping themselves. Because I've actually literally had that happen to me where I had guests around and it wasn't a dog, it was my cat, and she was very never not friendly with people she didn't know, and scared, you know. And she was under the bed in my room, and I shut the door. But this child, old enough to know better, would not leave her alone, and I had to keep going saying, you gotta go now, you gotta go. And I was getting more and more irritated because I'm trying to protect my cat and advocate for my cat, and he would just, you know, you'd think he'd gone to the toilet, and he was harassing my poor little kitty cat. But anyway, so yeah, make sure you check on that. The other thing, I don't know if this is on your list, but I'm gonna jump the bandwagon if that's the right word. With dog, just this is kind of not separation related, but in terms of, you know, whether the dog is at a party at someone else's house or even at your own house, make sure your guests aren't feeding them something inappropriate that they shouldn't have. Like, you know, because holiday season, lots of food, lots of different foods, and, you know, just keep an eye on that as well.
That's a really good one.
Chocolate
That's a
and
really good one.
things, yeah.
There's a lot of things that they shouldn't have. The other thing, that's a good thing to think about whenever you have a dog with a behavioral issue. So your dog might already be on medication for their separation anxiety, but they could also use a situational medication for times like the Christmas party, or, you know, even if
New
you're just
Year's
having
Eve.
a small gathering or, you know, whatever. So that might be another good thing to talk to your vet about is to see if it would be appropriate for your dog to also have a situational medication for especially stressful times. And just remember with those, and I'm sure your vet will tell you this, is to test it out
Yeah,
ahead of time
while you're
before you
there.
need it.
Yeah,
Yeah, to
while
make
you're
sure that
there.
it's a,
Yeah,
make
no
sure it's
mix
a
of cats
good
or dogs.
fit for your dog.
Yeah, for sure.
So your vet will help you know, have the right medication at the right dose for just to help your dog be able to settle a bit more around stuff like this. Okay. The another thing that I was kind of thinking about is that because a lot of dogs with separation anxiety also have noise sensitivities, it is important to look at the medications for that kind of thing too, right? So even if you're going to be home and you're not having a party, there is no celebrations, your neighbors might be celebrating, right? So if your dog is stressed by, a lot of noises, whether that's a lot of people chattering and yelling and singing and, doing whatever people do during
Singing.
parties, or there's something loud going on, like fireworks or people banging pots and pans or what, or whatever's happening. If those things are stressful for your dog, making sure that A, looking at that medication stuff, but one of my favorite places to create a safe place is in the closet, because there's not a lot of windows, there's a lot of clothes to kind of absorb sounds. So for a lot of dogs, that's a good place to kind of help them feel a little more sheltered from whatever noise is going on. And I think we have an episode on noise sensitivity. So if your dog does have noise sensitivities, I would go back to that episode and just look at all the tips we have, because there are quite a few different things that you can do to help your dog with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep,
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 yep.
yep, 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 yep. Okay, so then, I mean, one of my last big category, well, I kind of have two more things. One is, look after your own well-being. So at the beginning, we talked about how, this can be a hard time of year for a lot of people. So if that's you, and if give yourself permission to take a break from training, right? Because there's a lot of different things on your plate this time of year, and you could be feeling pressure for to try to meet deadlines before the holidays, or like we talked about, is family pressure, monetary pressure. There's so many pressures. And we know that having a dog with any behavioral issue, including separation anxiety, is hard, and that weighs on you. So taking a bit of time off from it, especially since there are all these routine changes and loud parties and all of this other stuff going on, that will likely not set your dog up for success in training, it's a good time to take a little bit of a break, or at least make things a lot easier for your dog. Are there ways that you can take time to reconnect with your dog during this time, instead of having the pressure of training?
Yeah, I think that's a big one. There's so much. I mean, the holiday seasons are stressful. You've almost been pulled in all directions, aren't you? There's expectations that you're going to go to this or that or the next thing, or you're going to have people around, and you have to maybe buy presents or maybe, do things anyway. And I think it is really stressful for you, and thinking, oh, I have to do the training on top of that and fit it in. And if you're frazzled when you're doing the training, it's probably not going to go great anyway. So I wholeheartedly recommend taking that time out, and just resetting when you go back to it. And then I think that's what is good about that too, is that you get that nice, I recommend it to my clients. And just, one of them in particular, she's doing a PhD. I mean, I think she's working as well, and she's at this pointy end of her studies, or her assignments or whatever it is. And I'm like, just don't worry about the training. Just take a break, take a deep breath. And then when you come back, we'll just do a nice little reset, and then we'll keep going, and we'll go up in chunkier amounts anyway. But yeah, I just think it's you don't put pressure on yourself. Yeah. I
Yeah,
think.
you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah, in a
Yeah,
time that's
that's
already
right.
stressful as it is, so yeah.
Yeah. My last thing that I wanted to talk about is that a lot of times when you get together with family or friends that you don't see maybe quite as often. You get unsolicited advice on how to cure your dog of separation. This is paint, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, anybody watching on YouTube,
I didn't realize it was on until I started talking with my hands. Anyway, something's painting the house. But anytime you get together with people and, you know, you talk and how are you, what are you doing, and it'll come up, or your mom or your least favorite uncle or, you know, whatever is going to, you know, say, give you some unsolicited advice, and they probably mean well. They probably mean well, but it's gonna just be like a ding, you know, and then like you hear this kind of thing all the time. And so I really like to think of it as kind of a square, right? Like, so you have two questions and two answers to each of the questions. Is this a person I care about? Yes or meh, not so
Why
much,
chart?
Right?
Yeah.
Like it's a little bit of a chart. And if you care about them, well, that's the first question. Is this somebody that I care about? Right. And then the second question is, how often do you see the person? Right. So if it's somebody that you don't see very often and you don't care about, I don't even like,
nod and
don't
smile.
Waste your energy.
Nod and smile.
Yeah. Like just thanks. No thanks. Like,
just for
I'm
clarity,
good.
Just for clarity for anybody watching, when you say unsolicited advice, we're talking about people that say, you don't leave your dog alone, what's wrong with you, you know?
Yeah, or you know, you
just leave it, it's a dog, it'll be fine.
Yeah, get on with your life.
Yeah,
get on with your life, it's fine. He'll never learn to be alone if you don't just let him be alone, kind, you know, like all of the things that you hear by people who, you know, probably mean well, but they just haven't had a dog with separation anxiety and haven't studied it and all of the things. So if it's someone you hardly ever see and somebody that you don't care about, just, you know, one or two words and move along, move along.
Say, thank you for your advice. And, oh, is that John over there? Hi, John.
Yeah. If it's somebody that you don't care about, but you see often, those can be kind of tricky. A lot, like, and when I say you don't care about them, I don't mean like that you wish them ill or anything. I just mean like they're not in your circle. You don't love them, you know, like that kind of thing. So a lot of times this can be like people at work, where, you know, you see them a lot, you see them like every day, but you're not like really friends with them. Like you just kind of like forced to be together because you work in the same place, right? So the thing with these people is that you're probably going to get advice more than one time, right? It's like, because you're going to see them, you know, you see them every day. So the opportunities for them to come forward and give you all this great advice in their minds are many. And so I like to encourage people to get increasingly firm. So you might start off the same way, like, no, I've got this, or thanks, or like whatever you feel like just, I keep it short. I don't explain the whole thing. I would just be like, thanks, right? And then the second time they approach you, you might be like, I feel really good about the plan that I have in place, or the training I have in place, or like whatever it is. And then the third time I would maybe say, that you just aren't interested in discussing your dog's training with them. Thanks for your understanding, kind of thing, you know, and like just, and it sounds, it, You just have to make sure you don't say it with a fussy tone, because really, really what it is it's preserving your welfare and it's preserving the relationship, right? Because if this person is always coming to you and saying things that make you feel uncomfortable or annoyed or angry or whatever, that's going to deteriorate your relationship. So I think if you put it in that perspective, I think it helps be like, okay, this is not about me just getting fussy at somebody. So those to me are the a little bit easier, the people that you don't care about, because even if you like kind of rub them the wrong way, it doesn't really matter, you know,
Yeah.
like it doesn't matter as much.
I think the people like that you that are in your world but you're not that friendly with, like for me, I try to cut the conversation. If it's something I don't want to discuss, I just try to cut the conversation off really quickly, change the subject,
Yes,
ask them about something in
that's
their
a really good
lives.
one. Yeah, changing the subject can be really a really good one, especially if there's a topic that you know that they're passionate about. And that's actually one of the tips I have for people that you care about but that you don't see very often. Like, so the people that you see at like a couple times a year at family gatherings or whatever, is that subject change, because it's an easy way to kind of deflect and not have to really address it, right? But sometimes those people who you don't see very often but you do care about will keep on circling around. Your mom told me how upsetting it is that your dog, blah blah blah, and then you're like, oh, how about your chickens? What color eggs are they laying this year? You know, like whatever. And so she talks about her chickens, and then she's like, no, but really about your dog.
I had a friend and they solved it by,
Yes. And so you just have to, I mean, I think it's the same kind of thing. You do that subject change. That's a great way to deflect. But if they keep on circling around, I think that I really like that. You know, thank you, but I'm really happy with the plan that we have in place. And then after that, if you do have to like, if she's still beating that drum and you're just like, oh my gosh. I do think it's, you know, when you're talking to somebody that you love or that you care about in your life, I think it's you do have a softer approach. So you could say something like, oh my gosh, I really appreciate your interest. But I'd really rather not discuss Sadie's separation anxiety. Thank you so much for your understanding. Like, I think, you know, that you can say kind of that same thing. I'm not interested in discussing this with you, with kind of a softer, warmer edge, and it will go over a little bit better with family.
Yeah, for sure. And if it's
And
someone
then,
like your mother,
yes, for the people, well, and it depends on your relationship with your mother, right? Like, so if you see her often or speak to her often, like it doesn't have to be like actual see her, but if you see or speak with them often and you love them, you know, that can be a longer conversation. You with somebody like that if you feel like they're kind of open to learning a little bit, you can explain how the training process works, and why you've chosen to do it that way. You can, and if they still give you advice that doesn't fit with your training ethos, you can tell them that, and you can tell them how that makes you feel, and you can ask them to support you in specific concrete ways. And that can be really helpful. So for a lot of people who love you, they're trying to give you advice to help you,
Yeah,
right?
it's well meaning.
And so if you can change it to, well, your advice isn't very helpful, and you wouldn't say this, but this is like the logic behind it. Your advice isn't very helpful, but what you could do that's helpful is this, you know, and give them concrete things.
Yeah, babysit my
A lot
daughter.
of times, Yeah, babysit my dog, you know, whatever it is. Go on a walk with us instead of meeting at this place that we've always met for the last 15 years for brunch. Can we meet at this different place that allows dogs? You know, stuff like that.
I think it's hard if I know I've had a few people in my life, not in, you know, clients that I've got been relying on somebody like their mother or a family member to mind the dog. And
Yes.
they're happy to do that up to a point until they're not. And if
Yeah.
I, you know, if this is interfering with my life, you need to get this sorted out. Just leave them. You know? And
Yeah.
I think
Yeah.
they're probably the hardest ones to
Yeah.
get
And
around.
I think the other thing with that is if your only sitter is your mother, then it may be that you're not taking care of that relationship with your mother as much as you could be. Like maybe you guys used to do all these fun things together. And it could be anybody. It doesn't have to be your mother. Like say it's your best friend that watches your dog for you or whatever. It could be that that relationship is crumbling a little bit because, you know, the times when you're together is when you're asking them to watch your dog,
Yeah, do your favor.
opposed to like, let's do the fun things together, you know, that we used to do. So that's why I always think it's important to have like a village to support you, like so that you can take care of those relationships as well as rely on them to support you and your dog. Yeah. But the one last thing that we kind of already talked about is just how maintaining boundaries really does help you with your welfare. And it can also, you know, help your dog if there are things that are that you're having to ask somebody to do or not do, specifically like you're saying, like with your cat in that case. Or, you know, somebody approaching your dog that makes them feel uncomfortable, you know, those boundaries are important for you and your dog, but they also help maintain the relationship that you have with the person. Because like, how did you feel about that kid, when he wasn't respecting your boundaries, right?
Yeah,
Like
I
not
was
good,
getting
right?
Really irritated.
Right.
Not so much at him, but oh, sorry. I should see. You can tell I'm
yeah,
irritated because I'm
his
still
parents.
talking about it.
You're like, I just can't let this go.
That was years ago, too. Oh, my God.
You're like, I haven't had a cat in 20 years, but I'm hanging on to this.
I know,
yeah,
sorry.
But I mean, that's the thing, right? And that's how it's hard. It's hard to keep our boundaries, but it's also really important to the health of our relationship. So just want to throw that out there for those of you who do struggle keeping boundaries. Just remember that it's all for a great purpose. So pushing yourself a little bit there is a good goal to have.
Yeah. I'd like to circle back kind of to the beginning in many senses where we're talking about if you do need to go out or go if you're going away especially it's maybe a little bit late in the day because we are closing in on that time where the pet sitters and the doggy daycares and all those places get really really busy. But let's say you're going away for 5 days and you need to find somewhere for your dog, or it could be longer, it could be 2 or 3 weeks, who knows. But you know, finding the right fit for your dog is, you know, where you're dog maybe isn't going to struggle. So clients of mine, shout out to little Benny, little Benny. My lovely clients, Kay and Vic, went over to Europe for, I think they were gone for a month, and they knew Benny has a little bit of anxiety issues on top of the separation related behaviors. And they didn't want to put him in a kennels because they knew he was going to struggle. Like it wouldn't be fair. So they found their normal pet sitter or that would have looked after him had some issues, had some personal things going on, so they had to find another one. But they did it in good time, and Benny stayed with this lady for 4 weeks, and he was introduced to her a few times. They had a home visit. They did everything right to make sure that Benny was going to be okay when he was there. I did feel for Vic though, because Vic did the drop off. Yeah, and apparently Benny was not happy. But yeah, he settled in really quickly because he'd done it, put all the things in place, and yeah, he did really well. So, and he's kind of turned a corner with his training since he's come back from that 4 weeks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really exciting.
Yeah, so if you know you're going away, get in, find the right, don't, if you know your dog's going to struggle in a kennel situation, find a home place that somebody's going to, your dog can stay in their home, and it's going to be a lot nicer and for your dog. So that's just,
Yeah. Well, and the other thing about, with kennels, a lot, I would say most, I'm not going to say all because there's probably exceptions out there, but most of the kennels, your dog is in a crate at night in a room full of other dogs. And a lot of times there, at least here, there aren't cameras in that room. And so, like, if your dog was panicking, there's the staff wouldn't necessarily know, and that can be really scary. But one of the things that I was going to say to kind of piggyback on what you were saying is that a lot of times your dog staying in somebody else's home or somebody staying in your home with your dog is a fantastic idea. But well, and folks still have that problem of not being able to leave your dog, right? And so what you can sometimes do is if you have other sitters or friends or family locally, that would be willing to coordinate with your sitter to say, hey, let me give you a couple hours off and you can go grocery shopping or go to the movies or like whatever the person wants to do. It doesn't matter. But that kind of thing so that you're A, reinforcing, hey, it's super important that you don't leave my dog alone. And B, to make it less tempting, they're gonna instead call these people who you have already vetted and already trust to go ahead and take your dog for, whenever.
The flip side of that, and we did an episode on this just recently, is the dogs that only panic at your home, so that when you do leave them somewhere else, and this was very much the case for Benny, when he she the lady looking after him left him alone, and she said he was fine. Now, we only have her word of mouth, but she did do that. Another client of mine went over to England for 3 weeks, and they had a pet sitter, but they did exactly what you did, what you're saying. So there was, I forget how many days, at least one day, maybe 2 days a week, where the dog went to doggy daycare, so the pet sitter had that time to go and do what she needed to do. So there's options, yeah.
Lots of options. I don't think I have anything else. Do you have anything else, Ness?
No, I don't think so either. I think we've covered everything. Just enjoy the holidays. It's that time of year.
Yes.
I can't believe it's the end of the year again.
I know. Crazy, isn't it?
It's, oh my God, it's 30. Okay, so it's the 15th here today. So it's,
14th here.
how many days is it to Christmas? 40 days, something like that.
Christmas? Yeah, 40 days, about 40 days.
Wow.
I've not started any shopping.
Not me neither. Too hard. Do it before the
Right.
shops get too busy, though.
Yep, it's true. It's
Yeah.
true.
Yeah. So I guess our message is, be kind to yourself, take a break if you need one. Remember that your dog's routine is likely going to be thrown completely out of whack, so that's not going to help. So another good reason to maybe take that break if you need it. And build the village, get people to my advocate for your dog, and also, if you need help looking after your dogs with sitters, start building that village.
ASAP.
Well,
Thank
that
you guys
is,
for joining us.
yeah, that's it from us for a little while. Thank you for listening to Tales from the Doghouse. I do quickly, before we leave, would like to mention, early to mid-December, I'm starting a membership. It'll be a really good price point. I've got a new app people can use. So if you're interested, I'll put the link to get on the waitlist for the membership in the show notes as well. So, yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you for following us, y'all.
Yeah, y'all.
Y'all.
And yeah, have a lovely holiday season as well. And give your dogs a cuddle from us. Give them a cuddle and a kiss. Yeah.
Please do. Please
slobbery do. Kisses. Cool.
Bye. Bye.